Walking his way right back into the KFGO studios, Eric Hatch is keeping it real.
You are always playing the pun game of whatever song is there.
Of it.
It is an art.
It's a game I like to play.
It's nice.
Sometimes I swing and I miss the whole.
It's okay. Just calm down and you'll be fine.
Yeah, just calm down, take a breath, and everything will be just fine.
That's right.
Welcome back.
Thanks, buddy. Good to be here. Do I look tan?
Yes. And yeah, just... Just look good, man.
Less pale. Yes. Yeah. I spent 2 weeks in Thailand. Oh, my gosh. I got to tell you, Fargo to Minneapolis, our flight experience, right? De-icing and all that. Minneapolis to Seoul, South Korea, 14 and a half hours. Nope. Then a three-hour layover. Then Seoul to Phuket, Thailand, another 6 hours. Flying back, a 13-hour layover in Seoul, South Korea. But they have a hotel that you rent by the hour. Oh, that's something.
That raises questions for a lot of people.
A hotel in the airport that you rent by the hour. That was our most expensive hotel.
Really?
Was that. Because Thailand is nicer, fancier, more fantastic than like a Hawaii. But because it's so far away, so many Westerners don't make their way to it. And so it was radically inexpensive, culturally beautiful and marvelous. We did a few days of mission work while we were there also. It was best trip we've ever taken.
Really?
So being back here, we left with no snow on the ground and 30 degree weather. And we came back to 30 below and a little bit of snow.
Yeah.
And so it was a brutal, brutal wake up call.
I imagine jumping off that plane right here at Hector was not ideal. It was a slap in the face.
It was. And yet, I mean, I'm here till Friday. I go to Scottsdale on Friday.
Well,
so
look
for
at
me,
you.
Yeah,
yeah. I good. I'm glad that the week you're here is miserable outside.
Yeah, thank
I'm
you
glad
for that.
That you got to suffer with the rest of us. Some of us that just live in this.
People ask me all the time when I travel, like, dude, why do you live in Fargo? And the answer is so simple. It's because I love the people. I don't love the cold. I like seasons.
Oh yeah.
But I don't need 30 below. The older I get, the more I appreciate the travel I do and the life that I get to live. And I'm so grateful for this community to come back to it because it feels like home. It will always be home. It's where my wife and I will continue to hang our hat. And the reason why people are so anti-committal to Fargo when they're moving here, and I see it all the time. If you're moving from anywhere else in the country, you're going to lean towards and say, you know, I'm probably going to rent. I'm probably going to rent because it makes sense that, I mean, I'm only going to be here a year or two and I don't want to get tied into it. But I posted something on my social media earlier today. I encourage you to go look at it. Find me on Facebook or on Instagram. That's Eric with a K, Hatch. So should be able to find me there. And here's the scoop. In 1991 to 2023, that's a 32-year gap, homes have appreciated in North Dakota, 300%+ over that 32-year period. So the average mortgage is a 30-year mortgage. Of course, people are going to refinance and that sort. But let's say you don't. You bought a $200,000 house back in 1991. Well, that's an $800,000 asset that you own today. That is the most crazy wealth-gaining opportunity that's out there, period, bar none, hard stop. Real estate is a vehicle, and we have such a high rental rate here, and so many people are afraid of – we have one of the higher rental rates in the entire country because it's anti-committal, because of the cold. But those that choose to stay here and those that choose to invest here, your money is in this like predictable – it's going to 4X itself. Your home values are going to go up over 300% over the course of 32 years. That's unfathomable money growth, in my opinion.
And
it's crazy.
That's not universal. I mean, that's particular for here.
It's about 300% across the country. Some places in like Colorado up like 500%, which is wild.
Because of the mountains?
Why? Some of it was government choices. Some of it was mountains. Think of every person that you grew up with in high school that owned a snowboard or skis. Where do they say they were going to go? Yeah, and that happens all around the whole country. So, that story still seems to be pervasive. But as I take a look, Minnesota up 307%. Iowa up 246%. But like places like Colorado, 584%. Montana, 585%. California, 312 right? So it's all around the board, but 300% is about average.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty good return.
It's a crazy return to know that your house is growing in appreciation 300% over 30 years. But that's the joy of compounding interest and compounding dollars, because over 10 years, it's going to grow like 40 or 50%. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, you're still building upon that. And real estate is the greatest wealth building opportunity that we will ever see in our lives. It's not Bitcoin. It's not GameStop. It is real estate.
It's getting that foot in the door. I think that some people that mm-hmm. I know that struggle with, right? Because things, there's a sweet spot. There's a time to pounce for some when it comes to finances. And as you always say, it's life that gets in the way. When you think about divorce, death, this sort of thing that I guess makes your decision for you. That all leads into the affordability. I know we've talked about interest rates. We've seen the Fed kind of hint that, hey, maybe things will at least stay the same or go down.
You're right.
Is that impacting the markets yet for the housing?
Here is real estate 101. The lower the interest rate, the more buyer demand is there. The lower the interest rate, the higher the homes will be priced. And so we've seen inflation happen across the board. The numbers I just shared with you, those are inflated numbers because inflation is a real thing. Mm-hmm. The middle class being able to buy is starting to become eliminated. I had lunch yesterday with my godson. He's 17 years old. And when he turns 18 here in April, his intention is to get his real estate license. And so he's going to come and work with me, which is so fun. Right. And if you can't trust an 18-year-old to sell you a house, who can you trust? Right?
That's yeah. That's a great point.
What we're going to do is we're going to partner him with a senior agent, and he's going to have an internship for a year or two and really learn his chops. And I'll trust an avid student before a lazy expert any day. So in all that, as we're talking, I'm like, well, what are you going to do for housing? He's like, well, kid's been working 25 hours a week for the last 2 years and saving up a bunch of cash, and he'll have graduation money and he'll have these other things. And he's like, what should I do? Should I rent an apartment? I'm like, you need to buy a house as fast as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. And so the affordability, we're like, well, what is it going to take? And for most people, if you're a veteran, you don't have to have any money down.
Yeah.
If you are buying with an FHA loan or a rural loan, you can get in for as little as 0%, but probably 3.5%. Mm-hmm. Average sales price of a house right now is $320,000.
$320,000
now. Yeah. Yep. If you're looking at 3.5% of that, that's about $10,000. And then you're going to have some closing costs that you can maybe get the seller to pay. So if you have $10,000, you can buy a house. If you're going a conventional loan, you're gonna be facing 5% down as a minimum. I think there's a myth out there, Tyler, that where people think that they have to have 20% down in order to buy. And that's not a myth. To avoid PMI insurance, it's like an extra charge that the bank is going to do because you're seen as higher risk because they're carrying so much equity in the house. They're going to charge you that. That's going to be an extra $100 to $300 a month because you don't have 20% down. But I mean, if you can, you should.
It's, you know, I took advantage of the first time home buyers program in North Dakota. That was, well, going on 13 years ago now.
That was the Obama administration, uh-huh. and that was them trying to stimulate the economy. So it was a $7,500 credit that you got,
yeah,
right?
It was great.
That was a lot. I mean, with inflation, that's like $15,000 today. It's a lot.
Yeah, it helped. And kind of hearing what the average house price is that you just rattled off, it was $130,000 for the house. And it was a good buy level. It was a spacious house for her, me, the dog.
Yeah. In 2011, that's when I got into real estate full time. So I've studied these numbers. Average sales price in Fargo was about $160,000.
Wow.
So literally, prices have doubled in the last 12 years.
That's insane.
All of it. Yeah. It is. It's
see, if you get in on that ground floor, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, here's the point that ties all this together. Affordability, it's harder today. Interest rates, if they go down as the Fed is predicting, or even if they stay the same, prices are going to go up. I hear so many people saying, I'm waiting until, and whatever that until is, I'm waiting until rates drop. Well, then the price of your house is going to be more. I'm waiting until X, Y, or Z happens in my family. Well, once that happens, affordability becomes an even harder challenge. 32 years, 300% appreciation of your property. And so what are you waiting for? Even if it's 200%, it's still the right financial move. So if you can, you should. If you can't, if it financially straps you, please don't. If you can live in your parents' basement for longer, if you can room with some friends, whatever it may be, because money is tight, please do that. Do not financially be irresponsible with your life. But when you have the cash, the most responsible thing you can do is invest in real estate. Yeah.
Eric Hatch is our guest. It's Keeping It Real with Eric Hatch. It's a Wednesday of January. I'm looking at the KF Joe time. It's 421. Let's go to some of these questions that have come in at 35270. We'll come back to your answers next here on KFGO. Adventure RV provides an opportunity to ask Eric Hatch a question about buying, selling, and a variety of other things in on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's get to it. Tyler, question for Eric Hatch. Why do the cities along the Red River on the west side have such a higher populations than the adjacent cities on the east? How do property values compare?
Well, I'm not going to give you the runaround. Did you see what I did? I tied together the song with the response.
Done.
Thank you. I'm learning from the master.
All right. Picking up very quickly.
I did see Blues Traveler in concert in Fargo in 1994 as well.
I just dropped a Star Wars reference on you, and I forgot that you've never seen Star Wars.
Hard
pass. You're doing good, Padawan. And yeah. Okay, well, there I swung and missed.
Isn't that Patagonia? Is that how you say it? Like that
it's
clothing
close.
Brand? Okay. Property values on the west side of the Red River, so North Dakota, are traditionally in the metro a little bit more than what you'll see on the Minnesota side. So home values are higher. Property taxes are higher. Income tax is lower. The line is, and this line moves every year, but it's about $80,000. So if you as a household, if you're making more than $80,000 a year and you're choosing to be a homeowner, it has more financial responsibility for you to live on the North Dakota side of things. Even though your house is a little bit more expensive, even though your property tax is a little more expensive, your income tax is less. And so that line is $80,000-ish as a household. So the reason why I think that we see such a stark difference, and Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank completely tore apart Moorhead. Moorhead at showing the growth and the development of the North Dakota side of things and Fargo's downtown area. Moorhead is in the process of doing that, but they have not done so at the pace that Fargo has. Kevin was very aggressive when he said it and very offensive for some people that live on the Minnesota side of things. I believe that property values in North Dakota's side of the metro will continue to increase at a more aggressive rate than what they will on the Minnesota side of things. And a lot of that has to do with everything from politics to taxes to growth and that sort. Moorhead is still growing. I need to be perfectly clear on this. Moorhead has great growth that's happening, but it's not like West Fargo. Yeah. And it's not at the same amount as Fargo. So in the area here, when it comes to property values, the North Dakota side of things wins.
Yeah, and you bring up West Fargo, you got Horace, and then you got Dilworth and South Moore. You're right, it's not the same pace of growth, but there's still growth there.
Of course, of course.
Questions coming in. We'll get to these after the bottom of the hour news, but somebody's wondering about a new real estate agent, just starting out, what should they expect? Others asking about looking to buy a new building or newer existing and then renting it out.
Okay.
That came in as well, so I'll get Eric Hatch's opinion and answers for you. If you got questions, we still got room for you, 35270. You actually want to be heard on the radio? You can call us. Lady Studio Line is 237-5948. It is Keeping It Real. Eric Hatch is in studio. I'm Tyler Axtus. You are listening to 790 AM, 94.1 and 104.7 FM, KFGO. I'm going to get right back to the text club because there's some great questions in for Eric Hatch. It's Keeping It Real here on KFGO. Here's one for you. My husband and I are thinking of buying a new build or a newer existing and then renting it out. So many families are paying such high amounts in renting apartments and can't get a loan for a home. Are you seeing this? People buying homes and renting to families to get them out of apartment living.
Well, I think everyone has a different reason why they're going to buy a home as an investment property. A lot of people do it because it's a financial win for you. As an example, I remember I bought my first investment property in 2012. It was a foreclosed property, and those don't really exist today. The banks,
that was a different time back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, it really was. The banks have cleaned things up, but the property was about $100,000. And so we put down our percent, and then we rented it out for $1,200 a month or so, right? A four-bedroom, two-bathroom house in North Fargo, rented it out for $1,200. I made a few $100. They're able to get a nice place, and it's felt like a pretty good win-win. Mm-hmm. Now that house is probably worth $225,000. $250,000 maybe, but the rent on that is like $1,500 or $1,600. That's still a lot. You and I were talking on the break that if you're renting a nice three-bedroom, two-bathroom apartment, that's like $1,800 right now.
That hurts.
$2,000. You're renting a nice four-bedroom, two- or three-bathroom house, $2,200 to $2,500 a month. And that I'm not talking utilities. I'm not talking all the insurance. I'm talking
landlord, as far as leasing property management, you're not talking utilities and what you just gave
right,
as a price
right.
as well.
I mean, prices are crazy. So are people buying properties right now to financially win? Yes. And they're also doing it at times in a philanthropic sort of way to say, I really want to help out this family member or this group that I'm close with. Whatever your motivation, no judgment from me. I think that home ownership and having a roof over your heads is obviously so important. And if you can help somebody out, more power to you.
Let's just say if it's within the Fargo metro area, make sure that it's only three people who aren't related, as we found out because of a situation with NDSU students, five of them, and apparently we have arbitrary numbers for that. Not going to get pulled back into that conversation. Why not four? Anyway, more questions for you. Where'd this one go? This stood out to me here. Here it is. Tyler, what recommendations would you have for a real estate agent just starting up?
All right, I'm going to be really honest and blunt on this. 87% of people that get into real estate fail in the first 5 years. That means you have a 13% success rate when you get licensed. The number one factor that will determine if you're successful or not, outside of your own habits, you have to be disciplined and consistent day in and day out. The number one factor is the environment that you're in. Have you signed up and aligned with a team and or a brokerage that is designed to help you go from zero to hero? We have carved our teeth. This has been the MO of my real estate company for over 10 years, is taking brand new agents and turning them into the top agents in this industry. If you are ever to get into real estate, I think it's irresponsible of you to go anywhere else except for Hatch Realty. And I will never give a rave endorsement to say we're the best, we're the best, we're the best, unless, and I'm confident in what we do, but I try not to be egotistical, Tyler. I am as confident as the day is long that a new agent's greatest chance of success is with me and my team. We are designed for and built for that new agent to launch into a successful real estate career. Anywhere else, you can make it. At Hatch Realty, you're most likely going to make it.
Recommendation, get a hold of this guy. His name's Eric Hatch, and get a part of his team is what I just heard there. Another question, do seasonal properties pay the same amount of property taxes as homestead properties?
To the best of my knowledge, they do. I have a lake place in Detroit Lakes, and the property taxes that you pay, it doesn't matter the occupancy. It matters the tax rate, the mill rate. And they're not determining if it's homestead or not. They're simply saying, you own this property. These are the taxes you need to pay.
What's interesting when it comes to that, now, North Dakota residents, I'd encourage you to take advantage of this because the legislative session just this last time, $500 property tax credit on the primary residence. So just one of them, and it can only be one member per household. So you and the wife or you and the husband can figure that out, or who's actually applying, because only one's getting it. You have until March 31st, I believe.
That's right, and I think it's happening next year as well. I think it was a two-year piece. That's to the best of my knowledge, yep.
And that you're probably right there because it's biennium, but right now that window's open, so get out there, get your $500 on that primary residence. You know, there are some of those things. I know Minnesota has programs as well, and I'm not going to quiz you on tax stuff, but there are incentives, I think, if people know how to look or where to look for them when it comes to property, when it comes to actually buying.
Yeah, there's some abatements from time to time, oftentimes with new construction. You'll have some deals that you can you can take advantage of. This new one, this $500 in North Dakota, it's been a very exciting thing for us to communicate to our clients in the community, is to let them know, listen, just by you owning this, because of a new change in the government, you get a $500 check. You just have to, it's literally going to take you like 30 seconds online.
I know you're going to tell me, well, you know, there's, when you're in the mindset of buying, it's going to happen when you find the house you fall in love with. But when those incentives are introduced, the sale and the buy rate, is it more successful in your opinion? As far as, look, myself for an example, I was able to get into the housing market in 2011, I think it was, or 2012. I don't remember which year. With the help of that first time home buyers.
Right.
Without that, I don't know if I could have, you know, it would have been asking the family for a help with a down payment type thing. Mm-hmm. So knowing that incentive was there, that investment for someone like me was available, I bought. And I haven't looked back. But.
Yeah, I think a couple of paralleling ones, certainly the tax credit in 2011, 2012 was a major stimulus for the Tylers of the world that needed that extra bump. When you're looking at a tax abatement for new construction, these people are spending at minimum $350,000 for their property. That's not out of pocket, but it's $350,000 up to the millions for new construction. And you're dealing with special assessments, and you have to furnish the property, and you have the lawn and these other things. So that certainly provides a lower bar for people to jump over, but I don't think it's the reason why people are going new construction. I think it's just a little bit of help. Now, the opportunity that I think is out there that a lot of people don't know of is there's something called a USDA loan. It's a part of the FHA, and the USDA loans are available for communities that are, I think it's like 15,000 or less, or 25,000 or less. Basically, it's not Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo, but it's anywhere else. It really qualifies. A USDA loan allows you to get into a property, I believe, for 0% down. And that's the thing, because they're trying to still grow these rural areas and make sure that they don't just die off. And so if you want to live in Barnesville, if you want to live in Mayville, if you like, your opportunities are there to take advantage of. If you are limited on the cash that you have, you can get a lot more house for the buck as well in those areas. So in the season when remote work becomes all the more normal, certainly the idea of driving 30 minutes to town in the dead of winter is a really tough idea.
Yeah.
But if your job is to be a remote worker and you like small town living, you can get into a property for $0 down. It's pretty wild.
That is pretty wild. The thing about that, federal, that means it's across borders. You don't have to think about North Dakota versus Minnesota is on that. Is the college rental market profitable in Fargo? People are thinking about buying property and renting it out today.
The first investment properties I ever jumped on were in the NDSU area. That for me was a predictable model. I love the idea that parents would co-sign. Right, it eliminates some of the risk, but then you also have oftentimes a 20-year-old who is living a new lifestyle with much
more freedom,
less rules, and that Roosevelt neighborhood of North Fargo is a very protective neighborhood, and so be cautious of who you choose as your tenants. The Roosevelt neighborhood will call, and they should. I want to be really clear on that. They're protecting their neighborhood and making sure that it's not overrun with irresponsible college students who are putting five people that are unrelated. Into a house. So, yes, it is profitable. You can expect for a kind of rundown house, you can expect probably $350 to $400 per bedroom.
Wow.
So you can buy a property for $200,000, let's say, and if you have a four-bedroom property, you can get $1,500 to $1,700 a month in rent.
There you go. There's an answer for your question that you sent in to 35270. We got another segment left. I got to get you caught up with the weather from Too Tall Tom Schmansky. Still room for your questions, comments. Eric Katch is here until 5 o'clock right here on KFGO. Only a couple of minutes left. I'm going to dive right in. There's a follow-up question about buying and then renting.
But it did say FU in the text, and you got very thrown off.
Yeah, well, for those that are regular listeners know that some of you come at me with some heat. And when I see it abbreviated going FU, I thought something very different
it's
than follow-up. Follow
it's up. Follow-up, which we appreciate.
Yeah, I just took me a moment because I was ready to come back swinging. But this follow-up is... my husband and I are looking to buy. We already went over that, but the addition is the husband is a veteran and 57 years old. and we have never used their VA loan. Can a VA loan be used on a home you plan to rent out?
So a few things with this. First of all, thank you for your service. Second of all, you can use, if you're a veteran, you have more than like one VA loan to use. You can't own more than one property at a time with multiple VA loans. So the point of this is your primary residence is what your VA loan needs to be on. Now, your primary residence, let's say you buy a duplex. If you buy a duplex and you rent out one side of it and you live on the other side, you can do so with a VA loan. It's a great opportunity. But you cannot buy a single family or a duplex or whatever else it may be with a VA loan if you are not occupying it. But let's say you own a house right now and you do so with a VA loan. You can certainly go and buy your next property that you're going to move into with another VA loan. You're able to do that.
Very good. They did conclude saying, I'm thinking that it cannot, as I know they have very strict guidelines on that.
It has to be occupied by you. If you're renting out to other people as well, no problem.
Very good. I've only got a couple of minutes left. Do you want to leave us, easy for me to say, with some words of wisdom?
You know, I'm going to say this is 2024 feels like it's off to a slow start in real estate. And here's why, is it's simply weather related. Our weather here locally plays such a major impact on what happens. Now, it's slower because buyers, when it's 30 below, aren't going out to look at properties. But I will tell you that there are more eyeballs on properties right now than there is any other time of the year. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. We saw last week 88 homes were listed, which is a lot for January. Some of them were expired listings from 2023 and they rolled over. Some are new construction, aspirational properties that'll get built once the ground thaws. But there is movement happening in real estate. And so wherever you find yourself, and we need to understand this, Tyler, the idea behind all this is real estate for most people, if you are going to buy, you're going to live in your house for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Now, how long has Gam Gam lived in her house? How long has have your parents lived in their properties? It's probably 20, 30, 40, 50 years. The average first-time home buyer, they move every 4 or 5 years.
Really?
And then they get in their second house, and now they're going to be there for a longer period of time. So wherever you find yourself, really 60% of people own in Fargo. And of that 60%, we can expect that there's going to be anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 people, families, households buying property this year in the Fargo Moorhead area. It's a lot of houses. Mm-hmm. And so if we're expecting on average there to be 5,000 sales and winter slows it down, that means that the craziness happens come spring and summer. And so if you're trying to find your advantage or your win, and I think that everybody wants an advantage or a win. If you're a buyer, you should be looking right now. This is your most opportune time because home prices, I believe, are only going up. And if interest rates go down, you can refinance. If you're a seller, well, you're going to have more foot traffic come spring and summer, but you still have eyeball traffic right now with less competition. So I think that now, if you are considering selling, this may be a time. And the advantage still is to the sellers, Tyler. If you're thinking about selling your property and you want to not move until summer, you can choose to negotiate to not close on your property until summer, or you can choose to close and do what's called a rent back. So you're able to pay a mortgage to the new buyers.
Very good. You want to do this again next month?
I'll be here, buddy.
Eric Katch, keeping it real. I'm Tyler Axinus. This is it for me today. You take care. I'll check in right here on KFGO.